Today is a National Sanctity of Life Sunday, and we do rejoice with those among us who are carrying children, even as we speak. I think there's four in our flock who are pregnant. We rejoice in God's blessing to your families, and we pray for the many who are not seen as a blessing, and pray for God's mercy on those that are making choices. Our text for this morning is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. We're going to talk about getting on a mission with God. I want to give a last sort of final reminder for you guys. This Friday night at 6:30 here at the church, we're having our wild game dinner. Many of you have seen these invitations or seen the announcement in the bulletin. And so I haven't heard about too many of you bringing wild game. I hope many of you are. If you thought maybe it doesn't matter, think right now. Go cook up something and bring it. If you have any questions about what to bring and how to bring it and what you might cook, talk to George. George, raise your hand back there so we can see you. Talk to George and he'll tell you how to bring your wildest game to the church and slay it before your very eyes. And George will cook it over an open flame in the fellowship hall while the fire alarm goes off and the sprinklers turn on. So it'll be awesome. Come. Come and slay your animals. So, no, but come on Friday night, 6:30. Bring some. Lots of you have said you're bringing some friends from work and so forth. It's going to be good. We have a guy coming to speak from La Crosse, Chad Cummings, who's a church planner, who's a super dynamic, outdoorsy kind of guy. He's going to bring an awesome challenge right to the point, a challenge for men. So know that this will be a place where you'll be glad you were there. Dads, if you're here and you have sons, bring them to this. You'll be glad you did. And so looking forward to that. Also, we've been working for several months, the deacons Chuck Herman and myself especially, contacting some of those who have been nominated for the position of deacon. And so next Sunday I'll be preaching a sermon on what the task of a deacon is. And we will then be looking at those two persons that we're bringing before you to add on to our deacon board, and that would be Rocky Coleman and Adam Pullman. And so if you could come prepared next week to enjoy what it looks like to think about the service of a deacon and then plan on looking at those two guys and putting them on our deacon board here at Emmanuel. So is that all of them, Chuck? Very good. So come next week for that. John chapter 19, verses 9, John 20, verses 19 through 23. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. In the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace to you." And having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And after saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for what we see in this passage, for the mission that you have given all of your children, for the peace that you bring us that overcomes our fears, and for the authority that you give us with the message of the gospel. Father, help us to find our place in that mission this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage that we just read, the crux of the passage, the phrase that bears the significance that everything else in those few verses is wrapped around, is Jesus saying to cowering, fearful, locked behind closed door disciples, is Jesus saying to them, "The way that the Father sent me, that's how I'm going to send you. As the Father sent me, so send I you." The background of the passage is that this is the very day that Jesus came out of the grave alive. This is Sunday, and the passage says in verse 19, in the evening of that first day of the week. In other words, the very day that John is talking about. And the day that John is talking about is the day that people were sad and sorrowful and crying because Jesus was in a tomb and they hadn't seen him come out of it. Well, not all of them. Mary and some others went to the tomb and saw Jesus alive, and Jesus said, hey, it's an exciting day, go and tell the disciples that I'm alive and it's going to be okay. And so Mary went and told them that, but they hadn't seen Jesus yet, and so they hadn't been convinced of this truth, and so they were still cowering behind locked doors in this upper room, fearful of what was coming around the corner. 29 verses before what I just read you, Jesus looked up to heaven, closed his eyes, bowed his head and said, it's over, I'm done, and he died. 29 verses ago. And now in this passage, Jesus walks into a room of 11 guys scared to death, like you and I, I'm quite sure, have never been afraid. Right? Maybe some of you have. You probably know people who've been this afraid, but I don't think any of us in this room have been that afraid. The person that you followed was just tortured and killed, hung on a cross and thrown in a grave because of the anger of those people that were around him. And you were his follower. And they know that. People know who followed him. You're one of those 12 guys. And one of them who turned him over went in a gory way, committed suicide, hung himself, and his guts fell out, and he's dead. One of them they can't find, Thomas, he's out hiding somewhere, he's doubting what really happened. So there's 10 guys in the room scared to death, literally, of their lives because the doors are locked thinking they're next. And Jesus just walks through the door. How awesome is that? Just walks through the door, and what's he say? Peace. And I'm imagining by his very presence as the words rolled off his lips, his disciples were comforted. Jesus told them that he was alive, but he told them much more than that. He told them what he wants them to do. The disciples were hiding with locked doors, and sadly, I think for some of us, there might be some good to understand what it's like to actually have some fear when it comes to our faith, to realize that a decision to follow God actually matters, makes a difference. How many of us, when confronted with life or death, would be so anxious to follow Jesus? These guys were. It'd be good for us to be put in a place where the decision whether or not we follow Christ is so important it could cost me my life, but I'm going to do it anyways. 10 guys in the room. Judas killed himself. Thomas is somewhere doubting. We don't know where he's at. In these 5 verses, there's a very clear, obvious main point, and Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I also sent you. And it's easier for us to think, that's cool. But I'm a disciple, right? I'm sitting in the room. I'm one of the 10 guys with the door locked. And Jesus says, by the way the Father sent me is how I'm going to send you. And 10 disciples in their minds, you know what they go? They go, got you killed. Okay, that's what God wants for me. He wants me to go out and go like you did and teach and preach the gospel, and it could get me killed. And the answer is yes, it could. By the way, it got all the disciples killed except for one. So think with me. Jesus dies for his mission, sent by the Father, lives a sinless life, is killed for no reason other than hate and jealousy, spends 3 days in the grave, came back to life miraculously by the power of God to encourage those who followed him to go and do the same thing that he just did. He wants to encourage them, to empower them to carry the gospel that he made, that he unrolled, that he created, that he was. He walks through the doors to his 10 followers. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Jesus walked through the door. He didn't say, you know, it's really cold out there today. Can you believe it was 27, 22 degrees below zero? 47 below in International Falls. Wow. Going to be a cold day, boys. He didn't say that. He didn't say, pretty cool how I walked through that door, isn't it? Didn't say that. No. He didn't say, got any grub? I haven't had a good pizza for 3 days. I am hungry. No, didn't say that. He didn't say, anybody know how IBM stock is doing? I haven't been watching my portfolio. I've been kind of busy. He didn't see, anybody seen my cell phone? I need to check my messages. See if I got any missed calls. He came out of the grave alive, walked through a locked door, went to those who followed him who were afraid for their lives, and he said to them, peace, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And then he said again to them, peace. Why? Because it's a scary thing to say, go follow God the way that I did. Jesus said, if you're in this thing for real, if you're in this thing for real, you have to go and do what I did. You need to share and care with prayer. You need to preach and reach and teach. You need to plead and lead and intercede. You need to give and live and forgive. You need to try and cry and be willing to die. As the Father sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. There's four emotions in the passage I want to look at that when we think about our mission that God wants to send us on, there's four emotions in the passage I think we have to understand and come to terms with this. When I originally put this together as I worked in my study, I put that these things are natural, and I'm thinking they might be natural, but it takes away the part of it by saying they're natural that's sort of wrong, because it can be wrong to be fearful and some things we're going to talk about. But these are four emotions that we have to wrestle with as a Christian as we begin to think about embracing the mission that God wants us on. And the first one is fear. It's a natural emotion for us to have. It can be wrong to be fearful when God has showed you in miraculous ways that He can overcome that and empower you. But fear can be natural. And if I was a disciple and my leader was just killed, I probably would have been behind locked doors too. Or hiding somewhere with Thomas or looking for the first bus out of Jerusalem maybe. Fear is natural. And it's amazing to me that Jesus walked into a situation where fear is at a maximum and Jesus says what? Peace be to you. I'm here. It's going to be okay. Peace. I bring you peace, which is, by the way, what God brings to every person who follows Him. When you come to Christ, you know what you get with God? You don't get a better life or a bigger portfolio. You get peace because we have peace with God because Jesus reconciles us to Him. It's the best thing that we get from God is peace with Him. And Jesus came into this fearful situation and He said, peace. Jesus has always said peace, and He always brings it. And when everybody thought they were going to die out in a boat in the middle of a little lake with lots of waves rolling in and Jesus is sound asleep, Jesus stands up and everybody thinks they're going to die another time. They're all fearful. And Jesus looks at the water and says, peace be still. And any storm in your life, anytime God wants, He can bring peace to it. Anytime He wants, He speaks the words and it happens. 10 guys are scared for their lives behind closed doors, and Jesus comes in and speaks peace, and it happened. And they went and did what He said. They went on a mission. There was a movie, so many movies you can't use for illustrations because sometimes you're ashamed that you watch them because some of the stuff is kind of surprises you, even in the decent rated ones. But I think the movie The Blind Side is one of those where you're not ashamed to say, I saw the movie, it was all right. But The Blind Side is about the Tuohy family. And they had sort of adopted this orphan, this young boy that they ran across. And he was in the movie The Blind Side. He became a very famous football player. He was in the movie and he was starting to play on the football team because he was a big, tough, rough and tumble guy. And he was out in one of his earlier practices and he was really a big guy, but he was getting pushed around a lot, and the coach didn't know what to do, and the quarterback kept getting, you know, sacked, and guys were running right over this big guy. And so Sandra Bullock, who plays Leanne Tuohy in the movie, walks out and kind of gets a timeout there with the coach and walks up to Michael Orr, who's, you know, way up here. I think he's like 6'4" and 300 and some pounds and can do a 50-yard dash in 3.5 seconds or something like that. Just an absolute amazing athlete. And she walks up to him in the movie, and she says, Michael. And she's thinking about the fact that Michael has an instinct to protect his family, right? And she says, Michael, these guys around you, these are your family. And if you don't protect them, Michael, they're going to get hurt. You understand that? Yes, yes. Michael, you have to protect your family. This is your family. You get back in the line, you stand up, and when they blow the whistle and when the play goes off, you protect your family. Do you understand? And he's like, yes. And so she goes back off the sideline and they do the next plays. And Michael now has this mindset where he's going to protect his family. And he just becomes this awful terror blockade wall for anybody coming for his family. He's going to take him out. And the movie shows this portrayal of him understanding that he has this ability and this desire and this job to protect those around him. He does an awesome job and he becomes an awesome football player. And even today, I think he just signed a $13.4 million contract with, I don't know, Ravens maybe? You guys might know. But he was a quarterback, he was protecting the quarterback, and he was to understand that he was to protect that person. And so that's what she explained to him. And I think of Jesus coming into our life, and we're his family. And Jesus walks into a room and says, "You guys are my family. I got your back. It's going to be okay. Peace be still. I got this one covered." And how much more Jesus, the Son of God, who died to save you from your sins, who died to give you peace with God, how much more comfort should it give you to have Him running defense for you, running offense for you, standing to block those things that want to kill you? The enemy's out to kill us, guys. Satan will not be satisfied until everyone who claims the name of Jesus Christ is put down, pummeled down, beaten up, and thrown out. And the interesting thing is most people don't realize that he wants the same thing for the people on his own team. Right? Satan doesn't have it in good for anybody. He wants the destruction of every living person that God ever made, both Christian and non-Christian. And some people think, well, I've been, you know, I haven't been serving God, but I've been pretty good taken care of. You know, I kind of made a deal with the devil. If he gives me what I want, you know, and it's all there's no deals with the devil. He wants to destroy everything and everybody. And Jesus says, "I got your back. I'm watching my family. I'm blocking for the team." When Jesus comes into your life, the other team is out to kill and destroy. And Jesus does not say peace for the fun of it. He says, "Peace to you. You're my family. I got you covered." And 1,000 people in your life can say peace to you, but only Jesus can bring it. Isn't it true? Jesus can bring it. Jesus can make peace out of chaos. Everybody else around you can just encourage you with those words. And so Jesus sees these guys and he sends them on a mission. He tells them to have peace about it. I'm going to take care of you. Peace is a very common emotion for us. And Jesus, fear is a common emotion, and Jesus is peace. We also see doubt in the passage. I just have to think that as soon as Jesus walked through the door and tells them to have peace, because we know they don't have peace and we know that they have doubts, one of the first things he does is he lays out his hands and he points to his side and he shows them, "I'm the one who was crucified. It's really, really me. This is not a joke. This is not a ghost." They thought that Jesus was a ghost before. Remember that? And so Jesus rolls out the evidences of what happened to him and shows them the scars on his hand and the scars in his sides and says, "It's really me." Why? To overcome their doubt. Because yes, they believe it looks like him, and yes, they believe the message, and they can almost feel the peace come into their lives when he says it, but they're still doubting because they don't know what they should do. And he shows them and he takes away their doubt. And when Jesus sees their doubt, he says, "Look and see. It's me." If you think about your own Christian life, it would be easy, I think, for all of you to be able to comprehend those places in your life where you were doubting, and Jesus said, "Look and see." Maybe not out loud. Maybe not like Paul or Moses got it or others where Jesus actually appeared to them. But you look back and you say, "God showed me something. I was wondering. I was searching. And God said to me, 'Look and see. Here's the truth. Here's what I want you to know.'" Several years ago, a man named Norman wrote a poem. And the poem was called Doubt. He said, "Let me meet you on the mountain, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to burn a whole bush, just a few smoking branches, and I would surely be your Moses. Let me meet you on the water, Lord, just once. It wouldn't have to be on White Rock Lake," which is down in Dallas, "but just on a puddle after a Dallas rain, and I would surely be your Peter. Let me meet you on the road, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to blind me on the North Central Expressway, just a few bright lights on the way to chapel, and I would surely be your Paul. Let me meet you, Lord, just once, anywhere. Any time. Just meeting you in the Word sometimes is so hard. Must I always be your Thomas?" Beloved, sometimes God brings doubts into our lives, and that emotion can be very real, and we're not sure how we should proceed or what we should do. And the Jesus who walks in, who says peace to you in your life, and you know that's true, he brings us peace with God, the same Jesus says, "Look and see, let me take away your doubts." Another emotion that happens very easily for many of us is anxiety. I think it's very simple to see that in this passage. It's Jesus comes in and he says, you know, peace, and then he's like, "Look and see," and
And they're like, but we don't know what to do. I mean, we believe you, and we can see and feel the peace, and we know that it's you because we can touch you and we see the scars. But I don't know what to do. That's what anxiety is, isn't it? You have things in your life that you're afraid of, and you have doubts, things you don't know. I don't know what happens if I go this way or that way. And as God brings into your life, you have anxiety, and you don't know what you should do and how you should choose and how you should proceed. And in the presence of their anxiety, Jesus says, the way God sent me, I send you. In their anxiety, as they wrestle, as they're fearful, as they doubt, Jesus says, go. Go and do it. Go and do the mission that I did. Go and do the mission that I give you, because I'm giving you the same mission that God gave me. And then the disciples think about their weakness, and Jesus knows that. They realize that they do not have the strength that they need to press on. And so Jesus says to them, peace to you, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And after this, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit for? To give you strength, to give you assistance, to give you guidance. He's the helper, the counselor, the comforter. He's the one where when you feel weak, when you say you're weak, and you should understand the weaknesses that you have in your life. He's the one that Jesus says, now, okay, you've been kind of afraid because the door's locked. I kind of got that part figured out. And you're kind of doubting. I kind of got that figured out. And so let me show you. And you've got some anxiety and you don't know quite what you should do, but I'm going to make it clear for you. You should go. You should go do what I did. You should go on a mission like God sent me. And then I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that you can't do it because it's too hard and you don't have enough strength. And by the way, you're exactly right. And so I'm going to breathe on you and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, which we know that came in power in a mighty way at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and breathed on them. And with tongues of fire, they were changed and they spoke in tongues. In their weakness, Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit to strengthen them. Sometimes the strongest thing that you can do is to admit that you need God's help. And it's hard for us to do it sometimes. So how does this tie in with missions? Be on a mission with God. And the answer is, let me put that last answer up there. When we get on a mission with God, we will have fear and doubt and anxiety and weakness. And Jesus says, peace, and look and see, it's real. Don't doubt anymore and go, and I'll give you the Holy Spirit to empower you. And God wants us to be on a mission with Him. He didn't just give that command to the 10 disciples that were in the room at that time. He tells all of us to go. Like the Father sent me, so send I you. I was reminded this week of a story that happened with Mike Halverson and I, and I don't know who else is there. I think Mike was there. Where you at, Mike? Remember this, Mike? We were working on those stairs. Mike Halverson and I were working on some stairs, and there was some carpet that wouldn't stay on these stairs very well. It had been a constant problem. It was becoming a tripping hazard, and so we decided that we would take the carpet off of these steps, and then we would dispose of it and get some new carpet installed in a safer way, in a better way. And so Mike one day pulled the carpet off the steps, and that'd be... Oh, you really can't see that very well, can you? I see. It looks really good in the monitor right here. If you all want to just come up front, turn around, you know. But, boy, you can't see that very good at all. Well, what you've got there is two pictures of the same thing. The one on the left is the stairs. And that blue kind of streak that you can almost see, okay, that blue streak, that is double-sided sticky tape. So when you put carpet on steps, right, you put the tape on the steps and you peel one side. After you get it all down, you peel the other side and put the carpet down. But what we found out, Mike and I, when Mike pulled the carpet off, was they never pull the other side off the tape. So the carpet was never stuck down. We were just laughing our heads off. We're like, no wonder it didn't work. And so Mike walks over. I'm like, Mike, check it out. So that's Mike's hand right there. And he reaches down. He takes the tape. And he pulls a piece off. And wouldn't you know, it's just stickier than sticky right there. We probably could have taken all the covers off all the tape and put the carpet right back down. Probably would have been fine. But somebody was already lined up to replace it. But I thought, how interesting, go to all the work, prepare the steps, pull all the stuff off, put all the double stick tape down there, get the carpet out, get it cut, put it all in place, but never peel the back or off the double stick to make it stick. And when God tells us to get in a mission, how sad it would be if we get together and we assemble those of us who believe and we have, you know, church membership, I'm on a mission with the church, and God wants us to be about a mission like He was, and the way that God sent Jesus, so He's sending me, for us to never get our sticky out there, for us to never pull the trigger, peel the back off the tape. How sad it would be if we just collected around thinking about the mission and never got out there and got the job done. And so I want to show you several slides and ask you a couple questions. The first thing I want to show you is where we've been. I want to show you some of the places we have been. This is in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Now, we've done a lot more mission trips than the pictures I'm going to show you right now, but these are the ones I happen to have pictures of. So if you've been on a mission trip and your picture's not up there, I just didn't happen to have that picture. But this is Eau Claire, Wisconsin. About a dozen or so folks there going. You can just about see them. And that was Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And that building over there, by the way, was running about 1,000 when we were there. They've almost doubled since they built that building. And I understand Builders for Christ, where we went to work 4 or 5 years ago, they're coming back again to do another addition on that place because they just can't hold the people who are coming. Praise the Lord for that. And then there was a group that went to up in the Brainerd, Breezy Point area, and helped to work on that church for a pastor up there, spent a week up there. This is a group that went to Taiwan. Most, about half the people in that picture are Taiwanese, where we were at, and then the other half on the stairs is those who went. Pastor Don Barlow, a church here in Rochester, is on the steps, and Bob Ray led that trip. And I think they were back since that. There was a second trip to Taiwan, and I don't have a picture of that one there. This is a group that went to New Orleans to help rebuild down there after the hurricane. This is a group that right here in Rochester went over and got a bunch of people together and put a roof on a house for someone. And there's our folks working and taking time out of their schedules to help someone save some money and get a good roof. And that roof was really bad. And that mission was to go help her have a roof on her house. Here's Pastor Jeremy with some Hmong folks who traveled to New Hampshire to go on a mission to help reach some people and spend some time out in the parks and have a VBS-like experience for some of those who were back there. There's some places that we've been. Where are we going? Well, already we've got 4 guys signed up right now, bought their plane tickets for California. Next month, we're going to head out to California because someone said, will you come and help our backyard? Will you help us fix up the yard and give us a place to play with the kids and reach people? And my niece is in a people that are in gangs. She's in a ministry to them and needs a place to minister to them and their children. And we're going to go help make a place for them to do that. We're thinking of going to Taiwan. Bob Ray just this last week asked the question, should I be thinking about another trip to Taiwan? And the answer is, well, of course. Did they ask us to come? Well, then we want to go. And so Bob's beginning the planning stages of going back to Taiwan. You might want to be thinking, is that a place that God would want me to go over to Taiwan to minister to the Millers and their family over there? And then Russia. Many of you are aware of the rights. We just collected a big package for them and sent them some peanut butter and marshmallow and all kinds of food goodies they can't get over there. And we just mailed that out this week to the Wrights. They've been here among us. They've ministered to us and with us. We stay in touch with them on a regular basis. And the Wrights have said we'd like for some people to come over and help us. And in this spring, in April, there's a vision trip. That happens to be April 26th. And they've said we'd like for someone to come April 26th, sometime around that, and check it out and see what goes on and learn the ropes of what our ministry is like. And then we'd like for a team to come back, get this, in October. We'd like for a team to come back and lead our organization of missionaries over in Russia through a retreat, a spiritual retreat, a personal retreat, something to bring health into us and to help us to have vision and strength and joy in God. They've asked for us to come and do that. What an awesome experience. Probably can only take 4 people, probably 2 couples or 4 total people who would have to prepare ahead some ways to help these missionaries over in Russia be encouraged in their faith. What an awesome opportunity. God might even be prompting some of you right now to say, wow, I would so love that. To go to Russia. Some things that are on the table, some places that we could go. Where are we going? And where do you want to go is the question. Beloved, God wants each one of us to be sent out the way that He sent Jesus, to reach people, to teach and preach and reach and lead. Where do you want to go? Maybe we think up mission trips or people call us and ask us. Maybe we've never asked you where you want to go. Where's the mission field that you want to go to the family that you're aware of in Rochester or in Minnesota or around the world or the ministry that needs help and you want to take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a dozen people and minister to someone else? We want you to answer that question. Adam Pullman, who had surgery on Friday for his knee that went well, but he's laid up this morning. He's our outreach team leader. And if you have an idea for something outreach or mission-oriented or a mission trip or a place that we could go tell Adam or tell me Or tell Jeremy, and we will do everything that we can to help that dream that God has given you for how to go out on a mission, to be sent the way Jesus was. We will help you make that become a reality. Where do you want to go? Tell us. We'll help you. Beloved, commit right now to overcome the fear and the doubt and the anxiety and the weakness that we naturally feel. And say, God wants to send me out just the way He sent Jesus, no matter what happens. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? How do you want to be involved in getting on a mission like Jesus was? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You indeed have not just called us to be Your children, but You are sending us to be missionaries, to minister to others. And Father, I pray that You would raise up in this body of believers right here individuals and teams of people that leave this place and go minister outside their comfort zone, overcoming doubt and fear and anxiety, and having You strengthen them for the mission that You give them. In Jesus' name, amen.